Rodon to third. Moncada. Carlos Rodon has thrown a no-hitter. After everything he's been through, the elbow and the shoulder.
The White Sox with a no-hitter. Carlos Rodon threw a no-hitter. He was perfect through 8 1/3. He hit Cleveland catcher Roberto Perez with a pitch on the foot with 2 strikes with 1 out in the 9th. That would end up being the only blemish for Rodon, as Rodon's journey is pretty amazing. He was the number 3 overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft in 2014, had shoulder surgery in 2017, and then had Tommy John surgery in May of 2019. And then last year, ERA 8.22 in just 7 2/3 innings. He was a non-tender by the White Sox, basically cut by the White Sox. He sat on the free agency market all the way until February 1st, when he ended up signing back with the White Sox on a one-year deal. Rodon is now the second pitcher of 2021 to throw a no-hitter after Padres right-hander Joe Musgrove did so last Friday. And both pitchers were just a hit-by-pitch away from a perfect game. So very close to perfect games for both those pitchers. And the Padres, the first ever no-hitter in franchise history. And now Rodon with a no-hitter. And the White Sox had a no-hitter last year as well. So a pretty cool story. Carlos Rodon with the no-hitter. And if it had not been a pitch on an 0-2 pitch that hit the top part of the foot of Roberto Perez, he might have had a perfect game. Pretty amazing stuff. Also, the Royals continue to play good baseball.
Hit well to left field. There's base hit number 6, and it's a 2-run home run.
That was the Brad Keller we were hoping to see. That was fun to watch, and I just kind of had an idea that he was going to come out aggressive and trust his stuff. So when he does that, there's just the movement and the life and the control. The more that he uses his fastball. He controlled the game with the fastball early on today, and got big pitches when he needed to with the slider too. So that was that set the tone for us, and obviously answers a lot of questions. We've all been concerned just talking about two starts though, but rightfully so. And Brad was concerned enough to figure out I got kind of go back to what I know I can do really well, and thought that was a great lesson learned. So hopefully that's something he carries on for a while.
Royals win again yesterday as Carlos Santana hurt his 2-run homer in the bottom of the 7th, made it 5-1. Salvador Perez hit his 5th homer of the season, notched his 7th and 8th hits of the series in yesterday's game, and Cam Gallagher drove in Michael A. Taylor with a sac fly that traveled only 110 feet from home plate. It was a blooper behind second base, and the second baseman went out to catch it. It would have been better off if he let Mike Trout catch it and then have his momentum coming towards the plate. Heads up Sin there, and Taylor able to score with his speed. But really, the story is Brad Keller, who worked out of a jam in the top of the 3rd with the bases loaded, struck out Mike Trout and Jared Walsh. And it was Keller's longest outing of the season, albeit 5 2/3, but 1-run baseball, 5 strikeouts, 4 hits, 1 walk, as the Royals take the series against the Angels 2-1. And Mike Matheny, as you heard right there, the manager of the Royals, pretty pleased with Keller's performance. And that's why all along we had talked about how there's no need to freak out about Keller and how he struggled early in the year. And Ryan LaFever, voice of the Royals, was with us about a week or so ago, when he said he wasn't too worried about Brad Keller. It was some other concerns he had with the starting rotation, as the Royals were able to win. There's only 2 teams in Major League Baseball that have not lost a series so far this season: the Royals and the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are defending World Series champions. The Royals are now in first place alone by half a game in the AL Central. And then they lose tonight, they might be in fourth place. That's how tight the division is at this point in time. The Boston Red Sox took both games of a doubleheader from the Twins yesterday, and that's noteworthy because they won their 9th in a row. What's also noteworthy is the Red Sox began the season 0-3. They're now 9-3, in sole possession of first place in the American League East, and according to Elias Sports, the Red Sox are the first team in Major League Baseball history to begin a season with a 3-plus game losing streak and then reel off a winning streak of at least 9 games. No team's ever done that before in Major League Baseball history. That's pretty amazing. Also pretty amazing, Milwaukee Brewers right-hander Corbin Burnes continued his run of dominant pitching yesterday by overwhelming the Chicago Cubs en route to a 7-0 victory. Listen to these numbers. Burnes struck out 10 Cubs over 6 shutout innings, permitting just 2 hits, no walks, 81 pitches. He's yet to walk a batter this season in 18 1/3 innings, and his 30 strikeouts make him the first pitcher since 1906 to begin a season with those figures through three games. That's right. He's gone 18 and a third, struck out 30, walked none. That's a pretty good strikeout-to-walk ratio. Not bad.
Yeah.
30 strikeouts, no walks. His ERA is 0.49. Not bad. Not bad at all.
No.
Local sports, I hand it over to Dusty.
Yeah, quite a bit of stuff going on here locally, and a lot of stuff going on in Concordia yesterday. The Concordia USD 333 has approved the hire of Chad Eschbaugh to serve as their new junior high and senior high AD and middle school athletic director and assistant principal as well there at the middle school. So Eschbaugh replacing Steen Danielson, who has accepted a position at Andover Central. So Eschbaugh coming back to Concordia from Jacksonville, where he'd been an assistant coach for the D1 program down there in Jacksonville recently, and coming back after spending 11 years in Concordia before going down to Jacksonville. So again, Chad Eschbaugh coming back to Concordia to be the AD and assistant principal there at Concordia Middle School. Concordia also has a new high school girls basketball coach. I shouldn't say new, I should say officially an official high school girls basketball coach, Carly Bloomfield, who spent last year as the interim coach there for the Lady Panthers, is now the official head coach as she was approved earlier this week to be the head coach, replacing Michael Wallmeyer before the season started, and Wallmeyer's resignation was officially accepted, and he's going to be now the Chapman girls basketball coach. So again, Carly Bloomfield, the new head coach for Concordia girls basketball. She's a Clifton Clyde graduate, played collegiately at Barton County, did track at Arkansas, and so obviously a very talented athlete and very familiar with the area as she's been on the Concordia staff the last 3 years and now the new head coach. You can read much more about all that at ncksports.com. Also, locally, lots of activities going on today, as we can tell you about some of the events that are going on today. Softball, Beloit is at Sacred Heart at 4:30 this afternoon. Beloit is 6-2 and 2-0 in the league. Sacred Heart 3-3, 2-2 in league play. Those games start doubleheader at 4:30 this afternoon in Salina. Also, Sylvan Lucas Lincoln at Plainville this afternoon. Concordia is at Republic County in golf. Or in softball, excuse me. I'm moving on to golf now. The St. John's Invitational starting this morning at 10 o'clock at Beloit Country Club. St. John's, Lakeside, Osborne, Tipton, Rock Hills, and Pike Valley competing from the area. And Smith Center's the Sacred Heart Invitational at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So that's a look at what's going on as far as local sports are concerned today. We also have an athlete of the week for this week, and that's Osborne senior Reagan Bales, as he's been named the NCKSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Great start to the track season here in 2021 through the first three meets. He's compiled 10 medals at the top two range, 7 gold and 3 silvers. He's finished first place in every 800-meter run that he's run this year in the three meets that they've competed in. His best time came on March 31st at La Crosse with a time of 2:07.29. Also won at St. John's and Stockton. Stockton just this Tuesday here, and he also claimed first in the 1600 at La Crosse and St. John's, and has been a member of two gold medal relay teams, the 4x4 at La Crosse, the 4x8 at St. John's, and Tuesday in Stockton. Three silver medals to go along with his gold as he finished second in the 1600 and 3200, and was on the 4x8 team that finished in second place as well. So Reagan Bales of Osborne, our NCKSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. So congratulations to Reagan, and you can read much more about him there at NCKSports.com, and all the latest in local sports is always posted there on the website for you to find out how everything's going for the area schools here during the spring. NCKSports.com.
Feel a little bit old. I remember calling a game or two of Carly Bloomfield when she was at Clifton Clyde. So, and she was the interim coach last year, so she just simply gets it on a permanent basis. And Mike Wallmeyer, who was a classmate of mine at Waukini, along with your sister, Tricia, we were all good friends. And he's now joining the enemy, I guess, Chapman, staying in the league. That's kind of interesting, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
Didn't know that had taken place with him. So wish him nothing but the best there at Chapman. I might see him next year, because usually Beloit plays Chapman, although this year didn't because of the change in schedules and getting through the COVID-19, of course. So very interesting stuff there. All right, so all the latest information available to you at ncksports.com. We'll have more live streaming of Beloit's baseball and softball coming up next week. I have that schedule updated for you at ncksports.com if you want to peruse that. All right, the Major League Base, or not Major League Baseball, but the North, yeah, let's try this again. The NCAA, that's what happens when you try to do multiple things at once. The NCAA.
That confuses a lot of people sometimes.
What's that?
NCAA, North Central Activities Association.
Yeah,
like
right.
If you
exactly.
see that, you're well, like, there. I cover this league.
Yeah, I've always wanted, it's weird, I've never had anybody do that from outside the area when I talk NCAA or say that on a sports ticket or on sports, you know, they get confused between, you know, the College Association and then, of course, the North Central Activities Association, the blit is in. But we're talking about the NCAA, the collegiate model right now, and they have, made a decision in regards to some transferring rules, and this is interesting stuff, and it will be interesting to see how it impacts collegiate sports. I think we're already, you know, clearly seeing this now with all the transfer portals and players leaving. And by the way, Chrissy Carr is leaving Kansas State University, which is very interesting to me. She was one of the top scorers last year. I don't know if
second.
She was the top one because
yeah.
Lee was probably number one.
Yeah.
But, you know, Carr is very outspoken with the Black Lives Matter protest and movement and so forth and so on. And her dad's on the staff there at K-State with the women's team. And she's, right there in the backyard of Manhattan, although they had moved from, Minnesota to Manhattan.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's very interesting that she's leaving. I think it's very interesting that Bryce Thompson is leaving. And I don't like it, personally. I don't like it at all. I think basically it's a lot quicker to name all the kids or student-athletes that aren't transferring than it is to go through all the kids that are transferring, to be quite honest with you. And quite frankly, it feels like free agency in collegiate sports. That's what it feels like. And it's going to be probably even more so now with the NCAA making their decision. Starting next season, major college football and basketball players will be permitted to transfer one time before graduating without being required to sit out a year of competition. The NCAA voted Wednesday to change the longstanding rule that has often deterred players in high-profile sports from switching schools. Basically, the so-called one-time exception has been available to athletes in other NCAA sports for many years, allowing them to transfer and play immediately. Athletes in football, men's and women's basketball, men's ice hockey, and baseball have not had that available to them without asking the NCAA for a special waiver and claiming that a hardship caused the need for a transfer. Athletes who have graduated have also been permitted to transfer without sitting out, no matter the sport, but not undergraduates. Starting this fall, all athletes will be operating under the same rules. Transfers will be allowed to play right away. Those in fall winter sports must notify their schools by May 1st that they intend to transfer. In spring sports, the notification date will be July 1st. The notification dates begin in 2022, so next year. For this year, athletes in all sports will be required to notify their schools about their intent to transfer by July 1st. The council also voted to let the current dead period in recruiting in all sports expire June 1st. A ban on in-person recruiting has been in place for more than a year because of the pandemic. Coaches will again be permitted to visit recruits off campus, hold camps on campus, and welcome prospective student athletes on official recruiting visits. Two trains of thought here. One, this has been allowed with other sports, so why not football? Why not, you know, men's, women's basketball and other sports? Why not make it easy? One nice paint of the brush across the realm of sports in NCAA, and you get one time to transfer. I don't have a problem with that. I don't, because I think it'd be hypocritical to sit here and say, well, this is just horrible for college sports when we complain about a player having to sit out a year to transfer, but a coach can go coach right away. Because that's been the argument for years. Well, it ain't fair to the players. They sign a letter of intent. The next day, that's binding. The next day, the coach leaves, and then they're stuck with the new coach. Oh, well, really? They really choose the schools and not the coach. That's not true. I can tell you that without any doubt of certainty. All you got to do is see other players like Max McClung, Caleb Grill, who's now back at Iowa State a second time. It is the coaches, or it's playing time if you're already there working with a coach, or you don't get along with the coach, you're not happy with the coach's decision, maybe that's why you leave, maybe you can't handle the pressure, so forth and so on. And so you should have the one-time opportunity to transfer without having to sit out a year. I get that. So if you're a freshman, you go, well, let's use Bryce Thompson as an example. Bryce Thompson will not have to sit out a year. Bryce Thompson's going to leave Kansas, and he was a highly touted McDonald's All-American recruit. He chose Kansas over the University of Oklahoma. That was a big deal. Then he got injured, and he was up and down this year, but he showed flashes. I didn't think he would leave after his freshman year because he was hurt, because I don't know how you can control that as a coach, but okay. So then he apparently there's something he doesn't like. He says it's a very stressful situation. That means he can't handle the pressure. I'm not trying to be mean to the kid, but he apparently is too stressful for him, and he wants to go somewhere that's a little bit closer to home, obviously. His dad was a Tulsa Golden Hurricane player, and now he's going to go to Tulsa from all reports. Mm-hmm. And I'm not holding that against Bryce Thompson. He should do whatever's best for him. And if that's where he feels he should play is Tulsa instead of Kansas, then the power to him. I see a lot of people criticizing it, saying, well, okay, now you go to Tulsa, lower level of competition than the AAC. You're not, you couldn't cut it at KU. This is going to kill your chances of playing the NBA and the pros, so forth and so on. I will point out Quentin Grimes left Kansas, went to Houston, and things have worked out pretty well for Quentin Grimes. Mm-hmm. And Houston is in the AAC. So I think that argument that you have to play at Kansas and Tulsa, that's going to hurt you so much for the NBA, I would argue that's not necessarily true. Quentin Grimes is an excellent example of that. Became a better player at Houston. He was, honestly, Bryce Thompson, Quentin Grimes is a great comparison. They're both highly touted. Both came in. McDonald's All-Americans. Now, Grimes had a great first game with KU, if you remember. In the Champions Classic start, you were 24 points against Michigan State, and everybody's like, wow, and I was too, like, oh, this kid's the real deal. And then he just fell off the face of the earth when it came to scoring. He didn't look very confident out there, and it wasn't the right fit, and he did feel pressure, and he was stressed. There's no doubt. And he went to Houston, fresh slate. He's not considered a McDonald's All-American recruit for Houston anymore because he was Kansas's McDonald's All-American recruit. Goes to Houston, has maybe gets along Kelvin Sampson better. Maybe it's just simply he relaxed, better atmosphere, not a Power Five. And his team went to the Final Four this year. And he was one of the top scorers in the NCAA tournament. So Quentin Grimes might have a future in NBA without having to play at KU. Now, that's not knocking KU. It's just about fit. And Bryce Thompson, I am surprised he left KU. And I thought he's a kid that was showing some signs there later in the year when he came back from his injury. Injuries messed him up more than anything. But he clearly feels that a better place for him is going to Tulsa. Power to him, and the great thing for him is he won't have to sit out a year with these new transfer rules. But here's the thing. If Bryce Thompson isn't happy at Tulsa, now if he wants to go somewhere, odds are he's going to have to sit out a year unless he gets some kind of hardship waiver pass, which it looks probably doubtful from now on because you can get that one-time transfer without sitting out a year. The other interesting thing about this, too, is, and remember Lincoln Riley didn't want to release a player off his team because they were going to go to another Big 12 institution, which I understand that if I'm Lincoln Riley. I mean, you can go give all this information about how we run our offense, this and that. You want them to go out of the league, but that's going to change now, too, and that's what's going to make things very interesting. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby has said the league has eliminated its intra-conference transfer rule that barred athletes who moved within the Big 12 from playing immediately. The Big 12 joins the ACC, the AAC, MAC, and Pac-12 in doing so, aligning with NCAA's new transfer legislation, which I just told you about. Interesting, the Big 10 and SEC aren't on this list, according to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you could have, for instance, let's try, Deuce Vaughn. Let's just use that example. Deuce Vaughn's at K-State this next year. He's a sophomore, right? Things don't go well this year. He's not happy. Deuce Vaughn could transfer to Kansas and not have to sit out a year.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. Yeah. Or Bryce Thompson decides to leave Kansas and goes to K-State. That's the part I don't know if I like, because I understand you should be able to go where you want to go. You have a one-time transfer, but I would be okay with the leagues keeping their own rule there. You know, if you play quarterback at Oklahoma and you can't cut it, that's fine. You want to transfer, that's fine. You've got tons of choices besides nine other teams in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're from Texas, there's other – you could go to the University of Houston and play football. There's other universities in Texas besides universities in the Big 12 that locate in Texas. I don't like it. I don't like it. There's a reason why, and think about this a second. There's a reason why teams don't trade within the division in football, in the NBA, and especially in football and in Major League Baseball. You don't see the Royals and the Indians making trades. It can happen. Every once in a blue moon it happens. The Royals traded with the White Sox 1 year. It can happen. The NFL, you really don't see it happen. You don't see the Chiefs trading with the Broncos.
No.
You don't see the Chiefs doing anything with the Raiders or the Chargers. You don't see the Patriots and the Jets getting together and making deals. it's usually really what happens is you want to trade them to the whole different conference, let alone within your own division. Now, think about that and come down to the college level. If you bring in a quarterback like Lincoln Riley does at Oklahoma, and he brings in highly touted recruits for quarterback, and everybody knows he's a guy that he can get quarterbacks in the National Football League. It's proven to win Heisman trophies. So you get some guys come to Oklahoma, but there's only one football, one starting position. And so two guys, along with Spencer Rattler, battle for the job this year. Let's say it's an open competition, which it's not. Rattler's going to have the job. But let's say it is, okay? Well, last year it was, technically. So Tanner Mordecai, it was battling Spencer Rattler for the job. Everybody figured Spencer Rattler would get the job. He did get the job. Tanner Mordecai stayed with the team. I don't know if he's transferring now or what. I haven't stayed on top of it. But let's say right away he goes, you know what, I'm out. Just like, you know, Nebraska, they've had guys that lose the quarterback job immediately want to transfer. That happened a few years ago. So Oklahoma has Spencer Rattler. He's their quarterback. And Tanner Mordecai decides right away, I'm out. I'm transferring. So he transfers, okay? Then he wants to go to Oklahoma State. There's nothing that stops him now from doing that. There's nothing that stops him from doing that. Now, I would guess, though, that he wouldn't be able to go just from Oklahoma to Oklahoma State. Transcripts would have to be transferred. You know what I'm saying? In regards to your education, you know, could he then be eligible, you know, to do, like, spring ball very next semester, things like that. I don't know all the particulars.
I would think spring. Like, I would think he would. Like, if he lost the job in the spring and left and went to Oklahoma State, he could come right in.
He could come right in then. I was talking about if he loses the job right, but preseason.
I don't think you'd be able to get it all done quick enough and then
I don't either.
I don't even know if it's legal to transfer.
But let's go with that example, though. That's a good example. So spring ball comes up, okay? And by the way, let's see here. What were the sports? When did they have to know here? Well, July 1 this year. But then in the future, fall and winter sports must notify by May 1st. Your spring games sometimes are in April. KU's is May 1st, by the way. But this year, because they just made this decision, you've got to July 1. So let's say that happens. Yeah. It could very well happen. You have a battle quarterback at any camp. Let's say it's Oklahoma.
That's probably why they moved it back to later spring games, too, and stuff like that.
Probably.
Practices.
Probably. So now what you have is guy competing for a job, and he ends up losing the job in spring ball. And then says, that's it, I'm transferring. And then he goes to Oklahoma State, and he takes the terminology he learned. He knows a little intricacies of Oklahoma football. That can give you a little bit of a slight edge. Why do you think NFL players that aren't even that, like, at the tail end of their career get picked up by another NFL team for a week when they happen to be playing that team the upcoming weekend? Because they think they're going to get information.
The season, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Chiefs picked up a Jets player 1 year, I remember, for 1 week. It happens. It definitely happens. And so I'm all with Lincoln Riley. I'm not against my kid. The kid's transferring, but go out of conference. Go somewhere else. If you happen to go to, you know, Ohio State like Trey Sermon, and we happen to play you in a non-con game in week three, okay, Trey Sermon can come back and bite me. That's fine. But we're not in conference, and we're not rivals.
Yeah.
So I don't like that part. I don't. If you can't come up with another university to transfer to outside of the nine others in the Big 12, then you really have a small list of where and very picky on where you're going to go, which I'm not saying you shouldn't be picky where you go. You could find the right fit. Very interesting to me. Very interesting.
Well, there's some of those. I mean, some of them might do it out of spite, too. Like,
right?
Like, yeah, it's not just like, it's like,
now there's
that's
nothing
not
to stop
necessarily
them.
Where I want to go, but I want to go here so I can play against them and beat them. Right?
Right.
And so I'm not a huge fan of that. I can tell that's where we were headed.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of it.
K-State has landed its third transfer this spring. Wake Forest transfer Ishmael Massoud averaged 8 points and 3 rebounds last season in Wake Forest. That'll give K-State 14 scholarship players. And Kansas State has now added 3 potential impact transfers, the one from Arkansas Little Rock, the other from the University of Missouri, another from Wake Forest. And they kept Mike McGurls coming back for another year because he could, even though he was a senior last year. This could very well be Bruce Weber's finest spring recruiting period in quite some time. And on paper, the Wildcats have the pieces necessary to make some significant strides next season. Honestly, you think about the kids that left and the kids they're bringing in who have more experience and more mature and a little bit older, I would say it's an upgrade all across the board for most of these situations.
Yeah, you hope, for sure.
I mean, on paper, it looks like
that. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, you know, obviously those were young guys that left and you got veteran guys that are coming in, and that's what we said they're going to have to do, right?
Yeah.
And credit to the staff, they got it done right now, and now they got to go out and perform. I mean, these guys, like you said, on paper, so let's see what you can do on the court and see if you can get this thing going the right way again.
On Monday, future Hall of Fame point guard, my oldest son and I have been not arguing this, but kind of discussing it, because I don't think of Steph Curry as a point guard. I don't. I don't think of him as a true point guard. Maybe I should rephrase it. He's a guard. He's a combo guard. Right. Now. That's what I call it. There is no true point guard anymore in the NBA. I mean, think about it. Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, Dame Lillard. I mean, and so I told my son last time we were having this discussion, I said, listen, Steph Curry is a point guard. Everybody can call him point guard. That's fine. I said, watch Warriors basketball. He doesn't bring the ball up all the time. That's what point guards used to do. I said, LeBron brings the ball up the floor just as many times as Steph Curry does, and LeBron's not considered a point guard, and he should be. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's 6'9", he can't be a point guard? Magic Johnson was 6'9", he was a point guard.
Yeah.
So LeBron should be called the point guard if he's running the point. And Steph Curry, he comes off screens left and right. The ball is not on his hands all the time. And he has to, not has to, but he gets lots of screens, set plays, and he plays off the ball. That's not a true point guard. But you can call him a point guard. That's fine. Today's game, point guards are scoring guards. It used to be you were a guy that's supposed to get assists, set up your teammates, and if you scored 10 to 12 a game, that was just what you were. Mm-hmm. You didn't go off for 20 or 30 and shoot 25 times like Russell Westbrook and James Harden and Steph Curry and all these guys. So I don't think they're true point guards. But the game's changed. There's not even really true centers anymore either, to be quite honest with you. But anyway, point guard Steph Curry had 53 points and 10 three-pointers the other night. Two nights later, last night, all he did was score 42 points, 11 of 16 from three, and he didn't even play the fourth quarter. 42 points, 11 threes, and three quarters of play. They beat the Thunder 147 to 109. Why is this noteworthy? This is the second time in Steph Curry's career that he has made at least 10 three-pointers in consecutive games. Second time. Only one other player has done that in NBA history. That's James Harden. It's also the 19th time in Curry's career that he's made at least 10 threes in a game. And we're talking NBA professional level. Best players in the world. No other player has done that more than five times, and he's done it 19. And the one player who has even reached that milestone is Klay Thompson, Curry's teammate. The non-Warriors record is three, held by Harden and Damian Lillard. Another bit of history, Curry last night scored 25 points in the third quarter. It makes it the 30th time in his career he's hit that total in a single period. Think about that. 30 times in Steph Curry's career, he's scored 25 or more in a quarter. 30 times! 30 times. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. And last night, three quarters, he scored 42, made 11 threes, and didn't even have to play the fourth quarter. He is amazing to watch when he is in a groove, and right now he's averaging 38 a game since coming off that tailbone injury.
Yeah, he had 48 of his 53 through three quarters on Monday night.
There you go.
So,
who needs four quarters of action, man? What happens is they're ahead, or he can go rest, and that hurts his scoring average because he didn't play the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Amazing stuff by Steph Curry.